So we're talking about growing the church, and I want us to just begin by reading 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 7. And this will be from the ESV translation. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now there are two wrong ideas that people have. One is, well, I've got to go out and do it all by myself. Well, that's wrong. That's what Paul's countering here. No. Yes, we need to work, though. Sometimes people take that like, well, only God can give the growth, so I don't need to do anything. God will take care of it all. No, remember, notice he said, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. Think about how important it is for the seeds to be planted and for the water to get put on them. We could add some more. He's only talking about himself and Apollos. We might say Barnabas fertilized. We might say Timothy weeded. We might say, you know, there's lots of other things involved in cultivation. And really what we're looking at here is that it's teamwork. If we want to grow the church God's way, we can't just do what we want to do or do it the way we think it ought to be done. We need teamwork. That's what Cameron was just asking for teachers. He can come up here and plan a big VBS and do things like this, but if we don't have teachers to teach the classes, it's not going to be much of a VBS. The kids won't have any lessons to learn. They can come look at a big pyramid. Well, that's fun, but they didn't learn anything if they don't have the lessons, if they don't have the teaching to go with it. And so every part is an important part. So many times we get discouraged and we get concerned about the fact that we can't do certain things. I was talking to a couple ladies yesterday. Oh, I just don't have any talent. I know you do. There are lots of talents. We just may not have something that we consider to be a talent. The oddest thing about it is the thing that comes naturally to us, the thing that's easy for us to do, the thing that we don't think of as a talent because it's just easy for us, chances are that's the thing that we have a talent in. Because to other people, that thing that comes naturally to you, that thing that's just as easy as breathing to you, is really difficult for them. I don't get nervous getting up here in front of a crowd to talk. I mean, I've talked in front of larger crowds. That doesn't scare me. It doesn't worry me. I can get up there and do that, and it's not that difficult to do as long as I've prepared. The preparation's harder than the getting up and talking part to me. But there are other people who, boy, they can prepare a lesson, and it's a piece of cake. They can get a great lesson together, but they're scared to death to get up and stand up and deliver that lesson. There's other people, they can't do either one of those two things. But they may be able to do something else. So the thing that seems easy to you, and you say, well, that's not a talent, that's just easy. It's easy for you because you got a talent at that. The folks that play professional sports, and the rest of us are looking, how can they do those things? How can they jump up and dunk a basketball? How can you hit a ball that's flying 95 miles an hour through the air at you with a little bat that's this big around? How can you do that? Well, it's easy. You just do it. I've been doing it all my life. It's easy. Well, it's not easy for me. And I'm guessing by the fact that we're all here and, you know, not major league baseball players or professional football players or in the NBA or anything, it's probably not that easy for you either. But to them, that's their talent, so it seems easy to them. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have to still work at it and develop it and grow it. We all do still need to work on our talents. But the things that you find the easiest to do, I bet you that's where your talent lies. Now, unfortunately, some folks' talents are, you know, lying, stealing, things like that. We don't want those kind of talents. But the good things that we do. Maybe you're really good at listening. Maybe you can call somebody and let them talk about their troubles. Maybe you're really good at calling and encouraging somebody. Maybe you're really good at sending a note. Maybe you're really good at cooking a meal. Maybe you're really good at sewing something for somebody. Maybe you're really good at... We keep going down the list. Maybe you're not very good at explaining what the Bible says to somebody, but you could invite them to come to church. Maybe you're not very good at inviting them to come to church, but you could explain some things to them. You know, whatever it is, you find some things that you can do. And we work together so that we can all accomplish a great goal. The problem we have so many times is we spend a great deal of our time focused on doing something that we're not any good at doing, to try to make ourselves good at doing that thing that we're not talented at. And I understand that thinking, and I understand why we might think that's a good idea, but let me share this parable with you, and hopefully we'll see why we need to put our time and energy into the thing which our talent, so we can really grow it for God. Now, there's nothing wrong with adding a new talent. God talks about that in the parable of the talents. He talks about, and that of course was about money, but we often apply it to our abilities, that you gain more. As you get better at one thing, then you gain another thing that you can do. But let me share this story with you. There was a discussion among the animals, and they were really concerned about the fact that some of their offspring were struggling with some things. And so they thought, you know what we need to do is we need a school that will teach all of the baby animals the fundamentals. Teach them the things they really need to know. And so they got together and they made the decision. They're going to have four courses, and all the baby animals were going to be trained in these four classes, and they were going to learn these things. And so the first one was that they were going to teach them to run. And the second was that they were going to teach them to climb. And then the third was they were going to teach them to fly. And the fourth was they were going to teach them to swim. I mean, that's pretty important. You know, you've got to be able to run and climb and fly and swim. And that'll make you a good all-around animal. Well, the duck was in pretty good shape because the duck already could swim pretty good and could fly. And so the duck, in fact, could do better at some of those things even than their instructor. The problem was, though, the fish, while they were, they could swim, but they really had a lot of trouble with that running part because they didn't have any legs. And plus, they really couldn't breathe the air. That was a problem for them. And so they would run a few steps out of the pond, and then they'd have to go gasping and flop back into the pond to be able to breathe. And so they weren't doing well at the running. The rabbit was a great runner, but he couldn't fly. He was scared of heights. He didn't even want to get up the top of the tree to try to fly. The squirrel was really good at climbing, but got in an argument with the flying instructor over, now, should we get to, I think we should get to top, climb to the top of the tree and just glide down. And the instructor said, no, you've got to be able to take off from the ground and fly up to the top of the tree. And so they had a big fuss over that. The prairie dogs, ground hogs, and moles, and voles and all those little things, we were talking about them just a minute ago, they thought it wasn't fair because there should have been a digging class, because that's really important. And you got to be able to dig. Well, it wound up, the whole thing just fell apart, didn't it? The duck wound up from trying to run, got his feet so sore that he failed swimming class. The squirrel couldn't swim, great at climbing, failed flying class over the argument. You know, the birds that could fly great, but they couldn't run. You know, and it just didn't work, did it? Because they were trying to do things that they weren't designed to do, weren't they? They were trying to do things that God hadn't assigned for them. And I want us to think about that when we think about what he says in 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 7. Notice verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. God gives us abilities and talents, natural bents, and we need to exploit those things for His good, for His service. If we're good at planting, we need to plant. If we're good at watering, we need to water. If we're good at fertilizing, we need to fertilize. If we're good at weeding, we need to weed. If we're good at teaching others how to do some of those things, we need to teach others how to do some of those things. Whatever our talent is, we need to work together as a team to make things happen. It's one of the things, I don't really watch sports anymore, but I love sports, but I just don't have time to ever watch it or anything. But the great thing about sports, most of the sports, the team sports, is that it does teach you that you can't do everything. On the football team, there's somebody that throws the ball, somebody that runs with the ball, somebody who catches the ball, somebody who kicks the ball, somebody else who just blocks the other big guys to keep you from getting splattered on the ground by the other team's big guys. You have all of those different things, and you've got a coach, and you've got an owner that puts up the money for all those things, and you've got fans that come and watch the game. You've got all of those things, and nobody can do it all. There have been some amazing athletes who can do a lot of things, and they can do some amazing things, and there's some of them that can throw and run and catch, but they can't kick, or they can, you know, they can run and they can kick, but they can't catch, and you know, whatever. There are different talents on that team that make it possible for that team to work. The same thing with whatever sport, basketball, baseball, you know, there's usually on a baseball team only a couple of guys, you know, four or five maybe on a major league team that are the pitchers that can really pitch the ball and get it where it needs to be as fast as they need to throw it. There's only a few that can do that. There are a few that can hit better than others. There's some that, you know, that you want to expand and grow, but you can't do everything. And here's what happens when we try to do everything. We wind up not doing anything well, because we're trying to spread ourselves so thin that we don't get anything done. And so we need to focus. What am I good at? What am I best at? What are my talents from God that I can help the team the most if I'll do these things? And that doesn't mean that we don't do anything on any of the other areas. It just means we spend our focus and the majority of our time and energy and money and whatever it is on that one thing. And then, yes, we may do some other things to help out in some other areas. But I think about an interesting thing in the New Testament when it talks about fishing. We have this idea of fishing, of the Lone Wrangler going out there with his fishing rod, like old Bill Dance or somebody, you know, and he goes out there and he throws his rod in the water and he catches a fish. And I'm going to tell you, those tournaments are really boring. Don't watch one, okay, because, you know, they catch like one fish every hour or something. And maybe the guy that wins the tournament catches 5 or 10 fish in that day. And maybe they weigh 100 pounds, even, let's say. He caught 100 pounds of fish. Wow. But you ever seen the commercial fishermen that go out there with those great big nets and the great big boat, and there's 10 or 12 of them together, and they drop that net down in the sea and they pull that thing up and they pull up thousands of pounds of fish in a day? You see, in the Bible, the way the fishing, that when God says, "I'm going to make you fishers of men," and those guys, the fishing that's described in the Bible is that second kind, not that first kind. They went out there working together in teams. Paul and Barnabas went out working together, and Paul and Silas went out and working together, and Paul and Timothy went out working together. Barnabas and John Mark went out working together, and Peter took men with him when he went to Cornelius' house. He didn't go by himself. They worked in teams together. And you may say, "Well, I'm not good at going out and getting people." But when somebody comes, you know, can you say hello to them, say, "We're glad you came," encourage them? Can you maybe invite them back again? Can you do things that will encourage them? We need to remember that we are not alone in this process. We have a team here on earth, but more importantly, we have our greatest team member in heaven. God's on our team, and He can do things that we cannot do. He can give the growth when we can't give the growth. You know, when it comes to a farmer or a gardener, planting seeds and watering those seeds and fertilizing those seeds and weeding or spraying the weed killer or the pesticides to keep the pests off of the plant or whatever. But who grows that plant? Did the farmer, did the gardener grow that plant? We might say, well, yes, I mean, they planted it and they watered it and it wouldn't have grown if they hadn't done those things. Well, that's true. But I don't know about you, and I know I've already admitted I'm not a gardener or a farmer. We've managed for the past 9 months or so to keep an aloe vera plant alive, and that's a record. 9 months, that thing's still alive. I think because we've neglected it so much. They thrive when you neglect them. In the past, we've watered them too much and killed them, but gave them too much care. But I'm not a gardener. I'm not a farmer. But I tell you, I know this. Not a one of us knows how to make that seed germinate and grow. God does that. We can put it in the ground and we can put the water and the fertilizer and all that stuff, but God makes that seed germinate and grow and sprout. He does that. That's beyond our power. And so we do our part and we trust Him to do His. Now here's the thing. If I only plant 4 or 5 kernels of corn or kernels of wheat seeds, am I going to get much of a crop? I'm not going to get much of a crop, am I? God is great, but God is not going to give me more of a crop than I plant. He's not, you know, if I plant 4 seeds, I'm not going to get 100 plants springing up. It just doesn't work that way. So we've got to do our part. We've got to do our share. We've got to work. And the more we do, the more the results that we can get from God. God gives the growth. And in fact, He goes so far as to say, look, yeah, we planted, we watered, but that didn't make us anything special. Somebody else could have planted or watered. God's the one that does the part that nobody else can do. Now that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do our part. We shouldn't do our planting or watering or whatever. We should. So we need to learn 2 lessons from this section of Scripture. First, that we're not alone. We have fellow teammates here on earth, but our greatest teammate is in heaven. And He is very much interested in the success of spreading the gospel and teaching others about Jesus Christ and His church. He's very interested in that. He wants that to succeed more than any of us. He wants it to succeed. And He's going to do His part if we'll do our part. Second lesson that we need to learn is we can work together. Do you remember the occasion when the disciples were out fishing and Jesus called and said, you know, what, have you caught any fish? And they said, no, we've been fishing, we hadn't caught anything. And He said, well, throw your net out on the other side of the boat. And they threw their net out on the other side of the boat, and they pulled up so many fish that the net was about to break, and they filled the boat, and it was about to sink. And they had to call their team in the other boat to come over and help them. And so they came over and they filled both of those boats full of fish and barely was able to get them back to the shore. There were so many fish. Too many times, and I think part of it is our American mentality, this rugged individualism, I can do it myself, I don't need any help. Which, you know, that's all good and fine in some areas of your life. But when it comes to the Christian life, you can't do it yourself. I can't do it myself. First of all, we need each other. And second of all, we need God. We need Jesus. So I want us to think about that this week. And of course, we'll talk more about it. You know, we think about Vacation Bible School coming up. It's a good example. Some of you, when Cameron mentioned needing teachers, you said, oh, I cannot do that. There is no way. That's okay. We need lots of other things too. We need people to give children rides to Vacation Bible School. we need people to make some cookies and treats for them and serve them their little snacks and things like that. We need, and even if you can't teach, maybe you could just be a helper in the class with the teacher. We're hoping to have so many kids that we're going to need two or three in each classroom to just to wrangle them all together and keep them there together. That's our hope. That's what we're aiming for. Maybe some who, you know, can teach might say, well, yeah, I can teach, but boy, I can't bake a cookie to save my life. I burn every batch. Maybe somebody that can bake a cookie might say, yeah, but I could never teach a class. That's okay. We don't have to do it all. And a lot of us are looking at this stuff that came in with that. I could never do that. I've told him a number of times. I said, I could never. I wouldn't have the first clue how to paint that all up and decorate that and make it look like what it's supposed to look like. I'd be so lost. I'd never get it done. But that's okay, because we've got different talents. We had somebody else came, knows how to do paper mache, so they're working on that, working on the sarcophagus, and somebody knows how to do that, and other people know how to paint, and other people know how, and you know what? If you can run a vacuum cleaner to help clean up, and if you could, you know, if you can hand out a flyer, if you can post a flyer down at the Dollar General or somewhere and just ask, hey, can we stick a flyer for our VBS up somewhere? If you can do something, there's a million things that need to be done. And the same thing with church. Not everybody's going to lead singing. Not everybody's going to teach a class. But that's okay. Do what you can do and do it the best you can do it. And help. Be like those teammates that learn, that helped to bring things in. Now they're in 1 Corinthians 3 as well. Verses 8 and 9 that we didn't mention. I just want to mention them and then we'll close. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. We're trying to build a great spiritual building for God. And we need all the parts. Just like this physical building. It has floors and ceilings. And I'm going to tell you, we walk all over this floor. Don't you get up there and try to walk all over that ceiling. You'll fall through it. It's not designed for that. We open the doors and walk right through. Don't try walking through the window. It'll hurt. You know, there's just so many things where, yeah, different parts performing different functions, but the whole thing working together makes it right. And that's what God wants from us. You may be a waterer. You may be a planter. You may be one that weeds or keeps the pests away, or one that puts some fertilizer here and there to help things grow. Whatever you can do, do it to the glory of God. Do it as a servant of the Lord and do your best at it. And be glad that you have something that you can do. If you're here today and you need to respond to God's invitation, maybe you haven't been a servant of the Lord. Maybe you've been sitting back waiting on God to do everything. He's not going to do it all. He's going to do the biggest part. He's going to do the most important part. But we've got to do our part. If you haven't been doing your part, you may need to do that today. If you're not a Christian, you may need to become one today. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to repent of your sins, you can do that and confess Jesus as the Son of God and be buried in baptism to wash those sins away. If you have a need to respond at this time for any reason, please come as we stand and sing.